Welcome to Finding Your Voice. I am your host, Per Bristow. I'm the creator of The Sing With Freedom, The Singing Zone, Speak With Freedom, Perform With Freedom, Peak Performance Mastery Training Programs, and other goodies. And here we are going to go deep into areas of voice, expression, communication, performance, releasing fears. Who are we really? How can we release what we are truly capable of in life? Get ready for some powerful conversations with some really fascinating people from all around the world. All right, well, today I am here with Shane Boyer. Welcome, Shane.
Thank you, Per. Welcome.
And I learned before we started chatting here that you are in a house from 1785 on the east coast of the U.S.
Yes, yes, sir. Just outside of Whitford, Rhode Island. The house is 1785, yes.
And that is pretty old. And we were joking about that before then, that me coming from Europe, 1785 isn't super old, but here in the U.S. it's pretty impressive. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's, and even for the East Coast, it's fairly old. So I was thinking maybe getting out to Los Angeles after being in Stockholm, it must have looked like a shopping mall had gone haywire.
Yeah, it's a little different for sure.
Yeah.
So the reason I want to talk to you, well, a bunch of reasons, but you have been a long time member of The Singing Zone, which for you who don't know, that's my online training for developing singing, which actually has sort of a broad spectrum of what that actually means. And that's also what's so interesting. What is singing? Why do we want to express ourselves? And I think it's going to be interesting to talk to you because you've posted some interesting, you've made some interesting posts in our Facebook group. So therefore, I want to pick your brain and how it all happened and what inspires you to sing. And how did it come about, really?
Well, it was an interesting turn of events in my life. As later on in life, as opposed to earlier, I didn't sing when I was younger. I didn't know really that I had a voice of any kind. So it was when I had moved back from Florida to Rhode Island with my daughter just about 6 years ago that I had been singing somewhere, and a friend had said that they would like to help me work from home so that I could find my voice and put the hours necessary into finding whatever that was.
Yeah.
And seeing where I could go. So that was really the turning point. And so, that's how I found singing as an escape socially, but also, excuse me, leisurely, but also it gave me a purpose because I was able to, with your course, gauge my success, and it just gave me much, much more drive, I guess you could say, to try harder.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. And why do you think then that you had not discovered singing earlier? Do you want to go back a little bit?
I was in construction my whole life. I had no, let's go back. I grew up in a home where hugs weren't given out daily. Yeah. Knowing oneself in an environment where you can't, sort of grow and spread your wings, as it were, is a hard place for a spirit to grow. And so when a child grows in a home where there's no love and charisma, and there's no community, and there's not much family at all, then you don't really focus on yourself and your growth. You tend more to your environment and your own day-to-day life. So I guess I got caught up in that and working.
Yes.
And getting out of the situation I was in when I was a young man. And so in doing that, I found myself running a couple of companies and then found myself in Florida building a multi-million-dollar company, working 15, 18 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Right.
And then once my daughter's mother had left us in one decision, my daughter was five. And so I made the decision in one day to stay home, whatever that meant, and forego my six-figure salary. And that led me back to Rhode Island. And in that, I met a friend. And to tie the two stories in, that friend said, "Hey, I'd like to help you with this singing. And I know you've had a tough road." And he's the reason why he said hello a few minutes ago. He was the interruptee.
Right.
And so I think my my thankfulness, my thorough thankfulness to what has happened to me in my recent years, is even just enough to make me give it everything that I can give it, plus 15%, because you have done it. And I can see in your face, and saw very quickly when I met your introductory videos before I was even a member, that I had already, I didn't look at the cost of any of the courses, but I knew immediately that we were a fit to be tied. And so I, and you pushing me without you realizing it, and me just believing you instead of listening to myself and my own doubts, because I had no experience to doubt them yet. So I just simply did what you said, and I did it again. So I'd done the course three times. The first time was 13 months it took me. Sorry. The second time was 4.5 months. And the last time I just completed it actually again, which was just under 3 months. It was two months and 3 weeks. So 11 weeks.
Okay. All right. So there's a lot of interesting things here that we're going to get into. And also the fact that you are engaging, because I'm a trainer, I'm a coach. And the hardest thing for any coach is to get a person to do what they need to do to get the results that they want.
Yes.
So there's a lot of, how do we influence someone to actually do, to engage? And therefore, I try to create a process of self-discovery. That's the whole point, right? So that therefore, your discovery is what is going to inspire you to do it the next day, or do whatever it is that you want to do the next day, and be more experimental in that sense, which is what I admire that you have done here. So if you don't mind, before we go into that, would you mind if we go back a little bit? Because what you mentioned there about our childhood, we can all relate to various, I mean, we all have different kind of situations of sure. of experiences when we were kids, right? And what we're doing in life often has some kind of relation to that, whether we're doing what we always did as kids or if we're doing the complete opposite that we never did as kids, right?
Right.
But it's interesting because I often talk about this, our need to express. We do need, and we all need to be loved. We want to fit in, and we want to, and sometimes in order to fit in as kids, being silent is actually a good strategy sometimes, right?
I haven't learned that.
Say what?
I haven't learned that yet, but I've heard that that's true.
Right. Or sometimes we become the opposite, or, you know, whatever. Whatever we find a strategy to survive, a strategy to somehow fit in whatever the world we're in. So you said you got into some trouble then when you were younger.
Some, yes, sir.
Some?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to get into that just to help people relate to it?
Well, because I had no place to live. I was sleeping under a condominium building in a closet at 11 years old. And 13 years old, I found a friend that was 20-something early and a little off from center, if you will. That's a Rhode Island term. It was a little left of center. Okay. And so we played some mailbox baseball. It's an old American pastime where you after drinking, you drive a car and hang out the window and hit mailboxes with a baseball bat. Mm. Very unintelligible and dangerous to do. And you usually get arrested if you get caught. Yes. And that happened to us. And I was oddly young for what had happened. And so they thought maybe that I needed a little bit more direction. And so I found the Christian Brothers in Narragansett, Rhode Island. And for 3 years, they struggled to chisel away, and they did. Brother Brendan and his team did. And so through that experience, nothing ever again, no trouble ever again in my adult life.
And so what do you think then, someone people who are listening here or watching, since we're producing this both as video and audio, they might have a child who's in trouble or they've been in that situation. What do you think drives a child to, or someone at that age then to do that? Because there's a reason why we do everything. We want to feel good somehow.
The first reason, as human beings, I believe the first reason why we do anything, whether it's brush our teeth, sing a song, or have a child, is because we have need to be recognized, loved, noticed, recognized, and patted on the back for everything. Even if we say we don't want it, we do, because when we miss it, we wither. spiritually as people, no matter what religion you are. And so the first thing I would say is put away everything in your life that doesn't include your child, because they are going to be gone and the phone can just be recharged.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you're so on there. We all want to be recognized. We all want to be significant. We all want to matter somehow. And yes, we all want to have a voice in that sense, whether however that voice or our inner being is expressed.
That's that chill when we are singing and we've had a couple of birthday drinks and we're singing silently to that song and our hair stands up even though we're not singing. We are envisioning ourselves singing that song, knowing the repercussive feelings that we are feeling would be what we make others feel. So in that glory, our hair stands up and we feel as though we are that person singing to us who is feeling what we're feeling. So it's to describe it the best way I could just there, is the most magical way you can translate to somebody why they should be singing, why they should be pushing out there what they have inside of them. It's because of that very moment, you know, I think.
Yes, yes. So do you remember the first time when you sang and you realized, this is something I should do more of? Or how did that come about? Do you remember?
So that's a hard question for me. I don't compliment myself ever. I listen to my recordings with only critique, 107,000 plus of them so far in 3 years. But I it's analytical to me. I don't let my emotions play into how I feel about my music. My music is not for me. My music is for everyone else. Okay. My responsibility is to my music.
But the first time you sang before you had recorded anything, then what?
When I mimicked others' voices, James Taylor, Roy Orbison, mimicked to where others would say they thought it was the radio. And once I grasped the fact that that wasn't common, that you couldn't just do that typically, I guess that was the time I realized, you know, I might have an ability. And then when somebody finally said, you know, this sounds like X, Y, and Z, you should do something with it. That's when it really made the connection to me. And I said, okay. But life had really kicked me down and I was in a tough spot. So to then pick up a microphone and then pay money out with no job to lessons that hopefully in a couple of years go somewhere. Yeah. Was a tie-in that I had to make. It was up to me to make that tie-in. I couldn't blame you for your lessons. They're right there. I couldn't blame anything else at this point. It was so, for me, it was an unacceptable failure.
All right, let's talk about that. Your guitar playing, did you start that at the same time or had you been playing guitar before then?
So yeah, no, wow. So I don't even like the thing. All right. It takes a lot to sing with everything you've got because that's everything you've got. Yeah. So then when I take this other instrument that I know nothing about and I'm trying to then put some emotion through that, yes, when I'm already, and I'm still not done training with getting my emotion through this and this, I can make a song, but it's not where it wants to be because my training in singing has been so much more. I would love to forget that guitar ever even existed, but I can't get anybody to show up all the time and play. So since July, my goal was 60 hours a week in July. I've exceeded that. So in less than a year, I'm at 1,400 hours. July 7th of last year. I'm at 1,400 and small change from last night, 13 hours yesterday. And honest, those are honest practice hours.
Wow. You're even counting. So
I have to because years, so if I may, people talk about their success, Per, and this might be a good thing to talk about really quick.
Yes.
How long does it take to do this? And how long does it take to do that? The Chinese believe that life is measured in breath. Mm-hmm. I believe that practice is measured in concentration hours. Mm-hmm. I can go practice the guitar for a couple of hours. But if I Facebook check first and I YouTube for a few minutes and then I use the restroom, I'm very careful with how I practice. And so if you practice honestly towards a goal, you measure it in hours of practice, which means I can do 10 years of practice in 1 year. If the average artist practices 2 hours a day on their craft, and I do 10, that's five times. But in the established, as it compiles itself and exponentially grows, your questions grow. And as you start to look for more information, you start to understand the answers more. Mm-hmm. And as you understand the answers more, your brain grows. And as Einstein said, once your brain is stretched to a capacity, it can't be stretched back or unlearned. And so my cup is so much bigger now, 2 years into your course. And I get more out of a lesson now, which might be odd to say. I get more out of the same lesson now, month three, depth, which I've seen many times. Mm-hmm. I get more out of it now today, just like this morning. I used it as my warm-up. Mm-hmm. Then I have, you know, the fourth or fifth time I got it.
Yes.
It's hard to describe, but
weird at all.
One must take the time. To drink a bottle and to hold a bottle and to pour the cup of water yourself are three different stages of growth.
There you go. So how do you feel then that you've improved? In what way have you improved? Describe that.
I've gone from a record scratcher and a person who thought alcohol made me sound better and all these other things I needed, and I needed to pour something in my nostril and have it come out my nose, and I needed to have lemons in my fridge, and I needed to listen to everybody. I came from that mess of confusion,
yes,
to finding my own voice in my college course that I'm enrolled in. It's this with you, Per, this venture that I started has changed my life in only a comparable way as to having my daughter. I am who I am now because of this. Finally. See, before I was just an animal working. I was surely to die doing that. So had I not met this fate and then met your course, I wouldn't be half the happy person I am now, fulfilled person I am now. So they've changed my life. The courses have changed my life ipso facto of me engaging in them, not doing them.
Wow. Okay, so that's beautiful, because that is what it's all about. The fulfillment, be able to actually experience who am I, right?
Yes.
Brilliant. And technically, you know, we can do more things with the voice, of course, which is part of it, because it's hard to express ourselves if we don't have an instrument, if we don't even know how to use it. So you had, for example, recently posted a video inside of the Facebook group that we have for members with a song where you had made some kind of comment that you had normally never sung in that high range.
You're wicked high.
Wicked high, that's right. And I had made a comment that it sounded like it was piece of cake. It didn't sound as it was. I mean, it was higher, but it did not come out as too high. And then you had said something.
So when I say that.
Yeah.
It was just something that I have to prepare for. No, so I think, and this might be true for other singers, hopefully they could comment. When I describe a frustration in a song or a note or a phrase, it's what I've gone through to get it. How much work I've gone through to get it. So to just say, baby, see how I've been living. It's hard to just say how much I went through to be able to do that. I can't, even videos wouldn't describe it because it would look like I was faking it or something. But that's a woman singing that song, you know, and there's no stairs and steps and chopping points and things that other people describe to go around. There's a freedom in how I am able to express it, that no, it's not. It's effortless. I can do it even before a warm up. No, although I never would. It's important to understand that it's really easy to sing well after you've learned to sing well.
That is such a good point, and that's why people say, oh, it's just all about talent. Of course, with someone who has this skill, it comes out as being effortless. That's the whole point. And then people say, oh, wow, you're born with it. And then for some people, it comes early in life because they've discovered it and then they've done it from day one. For you, you didn't do it from day one.
I had no idea.
Right. Which is so beautiful. And I mean, you're such an inspiration for that reason. We don't have to believe that we have talent or not. It's irrelevant. We don't know
I think people lack is the belief. Because this investment of a year and a half is nothing. Nothing. I've had three relationships lasted three times longer than that in my life. And they were, gave me less fundamentally as a person than this course did. This is nothing. This isn't even part-time job. And it's less expensive than a cup of coffee a day. As there's no, if you want the growth, if you want it, I know as a I'll stand and live and die by saying I know for a fact it's out there. If you want the information and you're willing to go after it and achieve it, I have the path that you could go get and sing anything you want. Yes.
Interesting. Well, I totally agree with you.
I have it now. I have it now. I didn't have it before. I have it now.
Brilliant.
And this is my inspiration stick. Some people use lucky rabbit's foot.
Yeah,
I just this. I remember each lesson, I guess, from time to time. It's certain things in the lesson, like, you're not anticipating what you're gonna do. You're gonna let the body do it for you. You know, like in month three, towards the end. You know, these things stand out as in because we spent so much time together, and I've watched these videos so many times, I can recall certain parts of videos, and it actually helps me remember certain aspects of my practice, and it helps me to do that. So to sit and think about it, I get warmed up, and to think about my lessons, it helps me decide which lesson do I want to do then, you know, at that time.
Brilliant. And for those who are listening to this and not seeing the video, Shane is holding up the USB stick of the singing zone, which is technically 1 year of training right there on that USB stick.
It's technically a college course at the cheapest price you'll ever pay in your natural life. But listen, this is the truth.
Thank
about
you.
That
now, why say what? Go ahead.
I want to tell you about the truth of why it's here now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big proponent of, I was in martial arts when I was a little bit younger. I put myself through martial arts to try to find some discipline in the world around me, I guess, maybe. And so in doing that, I realized how fundamentally to establish practice and to achieve practice as a goal, you know. Practicing is a goal. You don't have to make money in singing to feel good about where you're going.
Right.
So what I decided was never to skip ahead. I cannot stress that enough. You failed yourself. You failed yourself and you failed yourself. Why doesn't Pear care? Because he didn't know you before. This is online. You have only failed yourself if you skip ahead. Nobody's going to be impressed what month you're on. Nobody even understands unless they've done it themselves. Just do it. If you don't get it, stop. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. It took me 13 months to do the first, 12 months because I put that time into it. It would have probably taken longer, but I put the time into it. I got stuck on month three. I was infatuated with this idea of depth equals high notes. I just didn't get it. The four and five, six with the consonant vowel combinations in month six. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't know. I say love is love. You know, these things that, I couldn't get. I stopped and I went back. Even though the next month had opened up Pear, I wasn't ready. So I didn't go there.
Right.
And so I believe that was one of the greatest sources of fuel for my success to grow in the course a little bit more quickly than somebody else might be able to.
Okay. So you touched on a couple of things that we need to, frankly, repeat and people really grasp. Number one is, like we mentioned before, I don't know if it was before we started recording or in this recording, but for me as a coach, the hardest job for any coach is to get the client to do what they need to do to get the results that they want. How can we inspire, get that person to do it, right? Influence that person to do it. Sometimes we need carrots, sometimes we need sticks. And sometimes, you know, so that's the art of coaching, art of training. And if you're in a one-on-one situation, you can gauge that. So therefore, I have to then develop a process where you are going to discover, make discoveries. Now, as you can imagine, I get very, very few refunds, but I offer a refund, right? But it's very, very obvious that the person who asks for the refunds does it very quickly and has not engaged.
Correct.
And that's just how it is.
That's correct. Just how it is. It's a fair number.
Yeah, that's just how it is, right? So we can't expect that. And let's face it, I've bought many books that are still on the shelf. So that's how it is. We don't engage in everything that we purchase, but we also don't get the results from it, right? So that's the thing that you said, to do it step by step and not skip ahead. And this is such a trap in life that we want to have the quick fix. We want to see the result. We want to go for that, the end result, right? And we forget about, or we never learned, that the way to get that result, to be able to achieve at high levels, is a matter of doing the process, being engaged in the process, and frankly, falling in love with the process, where the result then will become a byproduct of the engagement. And that result, in this case, is not a measurable result, because singing, how do we measure that? We can't, right? Now, you've been in business where you measure numbers, and we can tell by how you, the way you talk, that you come from that kind of achievement kind of mindset. You know that it takes hours. You know that it takes this and this. And that's so, which doesn't mean we want to discourage people, because you can have a sense of freedom even after 40 minutes, right? But that doesn't mean we're done. We're never, ever done in life. So the thing that you said then, that you did not skip ahead, is brilliant. On the other hand, there are also people then who do the other way around. They stick on the first lesson for like 6 months because they don't feel they have mastered it. No. You need to move on. You will never. There's not about mastery, right? And so now, since you are very, very engaged in practicing, and you come then from, you even said it yourself, that to want to be, you recognizing that you want to be, we all need to be significant and we want to be recognized. How do you feel about when I say then, let go of the need to judge yourself, give permission to sound like, in the first session, like I say, give permission to sound like crap. How did you feel about that?
Well, I needed to hear those things. I actually heard that before I started your course. One of those things that we need to do is be in the car, not at the stop sign, but in the car by ourselves, proverbially. That's the right way to say it. We need to be that nobody can be around. I don't care how much they love us. Nobody. Sometimes even the dog doesn't, for me. I need to be able to make these sounds that I don't want them associated with me.
Yes.
And they're not going to sound good. I'm telling you now, they're not going to sound good. We're not going to guess, because I'm not going to judge them and hold them back, because I don't even know what they're going to sound like yet. So it's the utmost importance is to listen. Again, don't skip ahead in the advice either. If you've said in the first video, get yourself somewhere where you can make noises, because that's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to make noise. We're not going to judge how it sounds. And so the way you – my mind never got past that. So I had to, when I first started, my mind never got past that. I accomplished that. And I talked with my friend. I said, when could I have the living room? Well, it was started after 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
So I would take naps, you know, when I could.
Okay.
So that wake. So anyway, being free to make the sound that is going to sound so terrible for a little while is the key of starting on the right foot.
Brilliant. So two things. First of all, it's not terrible, and terrible is a judgment, but we give it to
people. I'm only speaking from personal experience.
That's right. Yes. But you're saying it now with a sense of, because you can joke about it. But for many people, then they can't give themselves permission to sound terrible. And the thing is, it's not about sounding terrible. It's just giving permission to not judge.
That's in every aspect of their life as well. And if they're doing it with their singing, then they're their own drill sergeant, and that's the worst thing you could be, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why everything I do ties into life, because you're absolutely right. You're judging your singing. Well, guess what else you're judging?
Right, too much.
Yep, absolutely. And you're stopping yourself by doing that. And that then becomes a fear. There's a fear of not being good enough. I have to do it right. And or you just become locked in and you never experience anything, right? Because you're afraid you're going to sound bad or look bad. Yeah. So it's fascinating. This is what we do to life, and that's what restricts us, right? But the other thing is then that you organized your practice. This is brilliant, right? You negotiated. Yes. You figured it out.
Yes.
You planned ahead. Wonderful. Bravo. Good for you. But it's also not surprising then that out of that mindset, out of that willingness, comes progress.
A lot of progress.
Yeah.
Amazing. Actually.
Say what?
The progress in the last 3 months has been unbelievable. I've been working on Steve Perry since I started singing, and as part of my goals, and to sustain the richness and power in the high chest voice, using some falsetto resonance from the nasality without going nasal, but belting like he does in such a richness and a delivery of consonants and vowels. To make him sound the way he does is obtainable. It's obtainable. I'd be glad to do it for one of your live performances someday when we get back to normal.
Yeah.
But it's the last 3 months has shown me such an incredible range. It didn't start opening for me personally to talk about the range until almost a year.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand what range truly was and how to grasp it. I was learning how to sing what I was good at singing or what I was used to hearing and things like this. But that's the long and short of that.
Yeah. We're all sitting here and everybody is probably sing something. I'm not going to do that to you. First of all, comparing ourselves to Steve Perry's like,
well, Ragdoll is a, Four Seasons song, yeah, for Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I was thinking about a question that I had. I don't want to ask it, but in the question I'll ask, because maybe somebody else will have it, is when you have a chest voice and you're singing, so for instance, one of the lines are, I change those sad rags into glad rags if I could. My folks won't let me cause they said that she's no good. Call her Ragdoll, such a ragdoll. Right there. So that ragdoll, did you hear the top of the throat? It bit a little bit, and then there was no window for it to come out to. Because on that high crest of the note, ragdoll, it's too much stuck in my falsetto. Yeah. And I can't figure out a way to get it rich, or am I overanalyzing that part of it?
So a couple of things. First of all, when you're on a microphone like this, you know, we're using Skype now, it compresses your sound right there. So it doesn't do singing justice when we do it on a webcam like this. But the other thing, I'll get to, okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. But first I want to ask you, could you do that before? That's pretty freaking high.
I wanted to when I was a little kid, and I heard those songs in the car, and I thought to myself, that's a gentleman making sounds higher than a woman, and all of these other men aren't trying to make that sound.
Right.
There were very few that could do that.
Yeah. So when you went for that high note, did you feel that, was that falsetto to you?
The last part of it was, and I'm not standing up, I'm actually in terrible posture, but the last part of it was because I don't, when I say it softly, such a pretty face should be dressed in lace. Ooh, ooh. It took it like a quarter of a step down. It gets stuck like right here. It's not opening up for some reason.
Yes. So I'm a little hesitant here what we should get into, because a lot of people are now who are listening and watching, you have no clue what we're talking about. But if I can address it like this, like, we can tell that you have a big range, but we can also tell that you have a pretty deep speaking voice, which doesn't, again, this microphone doesn't do it justice, right? So the resonance of the voice does not come out when you record it like this. It becomes like compressed and you're like, oh, right? And that's, and you know, you mentioned before that the depth, the lesson in month three, you didn't first understand how that tied into high range, and now you do. And I'm trying to measure my words here so that, because it's people who haven't done the training, so they get something out of it. But when we have a deep voice, it means that we have, first of all, a thicker string vibrates slower, and that creates a lower note. So more mass vibrates slower. And in order to sing a higher note, that there has to be less mass, right? So on a grand piano, the string is thin and short. On a guitar, they're the same length, but the thinner string has a higher pitch. And then we press a finger on the press a finger on, what am I talking about?
On the fret, as you raise the fret.
Yes. So then we're actually making the string shorter, right?
Right.
So now the muscle is the vocal cords, let's put it that way, is not just
the
muscle.
Vocal cords, though. Nothing else changes.
Right. So if I do I'm changing the speed of vibration by changing the mass that's vibrating. And the fact that we can do that is absolutely incredible. It's amazing.
But wait, and you learn finally how to take that. It's like squeezing the top of a balloon. When you can actually squeeze the balloon in your arms as you're squeezing the head of it. So the head is then the vocal cords, vocal folds, which never forget, they're horizontal, not vertical.
That's right.
It's almost hard to even grasp to some experienced singers. But if you can use this, so if you can change your pressure with your compensatory muscles, with working tirelessly at getting all of the other silliness and these other muscles who don't want to pay attention to the order of things, this new world order that's going on in your body.
Yes.
The larynx is large and in charge. The vocal folds are the boss. And so, if you can't gauge the amount of air coming in and out of them, you're going to hurt yourself. Whether you're trying too hard, squeezing out too much air, or holding back too much, if there's no freedom in the start, there'll be no freedom in the singing later.
Well, that's absolutely true. And most people fall into the trap of they're trying to adjust airflow before they have the strength of the vocal cords, the ability for the vocal cords to come together. So when we breathe, they're open. When we say, they come together, right? And that's
hard to explain. Easy to explain, but hard to grasp, though.
Yes, and it's a muscle skill, right? So some people who have voice problems can't do it, so we have to develop the functionality in order to be able to do it. When I did that, there's no difference in my, I'm not changing the air pressure. The air pressure changes, but that's a completely different thing. So that's also what we want to do then, is go through the process to develop muscle isolation skills so that we actually feel what's going on, what's the difference, right? And then it becomes less of an issue of the terminology. It becomes less of, is it head voice, chest voice, whatever we want to call it, right? Because we can approach that note with a different way. Like you were talking about nasal resonance, and you can do certain things, right? And part of that is because of the style that you want to sing. So there's so much thing. We have this amazing instrument that can sound in so many different ways. And part of that is our preference of what we would like to sing. And it's totally doable, right? Well, yeah, we want to sing it like that, or we want to, which probably doesn't work now with this. I'm probably distorting the microphone here, but if I go louder and I haven't warmed up at all, but I can still be flexible, right? Oh, yeah. Now, is that falsetto? that would be true falsetto. What I did there, or not quite. There's all kinds of things in between. It's what, not one or the other. That's the
brilliant. One who focuses on a description of how they sound is not thinking about singing. If they're trying to describe this or profess, this is chest voice, this is falsetto, it's like trying to describe where the hot ends and the cold begins on a water heater.
That's right. You're
right. That's improper thinking.
Yeah.
There's and no it, such thing as...
I use the analogy of jogging and sprinting, right?
Yeah.
What is it either or? What about if you try to sprint, but you're not running so fast, but you're...
Well, it'd be a jint.
Say that?
Be a jint.
Right. So
a jogging sprint would be a jint. But make up your own ways. I'm laughing with you because our minds, don't forget we're human, right? So our minds need to compartmentalize, explain,
exactly.
fragment, and we need numbers. We need what is my expectation of result based on my current course, and is my many layers to it. Yeah,
we love to categorize and label,
quantify what we're doing. Yeah,
yes, and it's so funny when we want to label that. But again, you know, we have two people who sprint. That doesn't mean they're running the same speed.
Well said. That's right.
So, but our need to put words to things is interesting. So we have someone who's running very slowly, but for that person, that's like max sprint.
It could be almost done. That's right.
For the other person, that's like jogging.
That's right.
For the elite athlete, right? So therefore, putting the words on it, yeah, but I am sprinting. Well, it's pretty freaking slow though. So
yeah, and I think people would appreciate that. Maybe not so much in our daily lives, but look, we're adults. If we go to our job and we know we're good at our job, we needn't look any further. So pretend that we're the youngin' sitting in front of them, us, at our job, questioning what we do.
Right.
Then just look back at yourself, a little bit maybe ignorant, a little bit maybe unwilling to listen maybe, and look at yourself and say, just give me some time, I'll show you the ropes, and you'll have it. So that's what I just told myself. I gave you the time to show me the ropes, and inside of 4 months, I was literally addicted. I mean, literally addicted to it. I was making time a week in advance of when I was going to practice.
All right. I'm not a favor of addictions, but I'm addicted to water. So if it's something that makes us feel good.
I say this, allow me. When you're a single father and you've gone from a six-figure salary to nothing, and your single focus is to do something great and extraordinary with your music, there has to be very little room for second guessing and for anything other than really strict schedule. So for me personally, I would love to have a little bit more of a social life, but it might be easier now. But I'm on a path that I won't waver, and I believe that when we finally meet on a stage somewhere, that we'll share a very similar goal, because there's a lot of things that I need to tell people about you, separate from you. Mm-hmm. No offense, but separate from you, you're a huge part of my story, and you have given me what I have. Mm-hmm. And my friend has given me the ability to find you. So I needn't thank anybody else. And so my plans were to find you eventually anyway, because I think, there are very few after looking for, if I can continue on this leg. I looked for 8 months or so and listened to, paid for two other courses, started them, the starting fee or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I found such an ignorance, an arrogance, an egotistical way of talking to me, giving me their resume 50 times before they've said anything. Whatever they've done for the few minutes of lesson, it's only I have to practice later. It's all do, re, mi, and I don't know where this goes thing. I don't even want to know what that is. I don't want to know, and I never want to read music. I wanted to learn the muscularity of how to make all of the music that I can make, whatever that means, whatever low range, high range, mid range, chest voice, falsetto, whatever I had as an ability down the road. I needed a path to get there. How was I going to turn the soil and water this plant without, I didn't know how to do that with what water. So your way of explaining muscularity and your breathing with your friend Steak was unbelievable video I watched. Again, changed my life again. I now can hold my breath for 2.5 minutes. I've been a smoker for 35 years. I can hold my breath for 3.5 minutes because of you, sir. And it's right here. It's a jewel if you don't believe me. But 35 years a smoker. And it's because of the disciplinary actions I've taken in the capillaries, in my blood, in my compensatory body to, that holds the oxygen. But I didn't know that until I watched that video. So you started me on this, and I'm sorry for any listeners or people watching that don't know who Stieg is and what I'm referencing. But I'm simply trying to say that through my shutting up my ideas, my opinions, and my narratives, and just going the course and taking it all the way through as it came, I was able to get out. So I shouldn't be patted on the back for that. I did exactly what I was told to do in the course after finding the course that I believed was for me. And I have I've been very lucky in the results. And that's what I'm trying to share with everyone is the luck that I had in finding you, you know.
Well, thank you. So, it wasn't luck because it was your desire to want to learn, and that you should have a pat on the back for, to having that mindset of wanting to learn, you wanted to grow. The other thing you've mentioned now is that you mentioned before that you had amazing results the last 3 months, and that is yet a year after you, or so, even more, after you started training. And this is also the brilliant thing, right? That the more we learn, the more we discover there is to learn. That's always how it is in life. And frankly, the better we get, the greater breakthroughs we probably have, because we have greater insight into the learning process, what we do, weaknesses, strengths, and stuff like that. So we become more of your own coach, which then ties into the thing. I know you said the addicted to me, but the real truth is that you have this power within you now that you don't need me, you don't need anything else, because you know what to do yourself. And that's the beauty of learning also, when we become our own coaches in that sense. And the person who has that mindset is also the person who's the sponge, who wants to learn more from other people. So it's all good. You're moving around. He's leaving.
Somewhere. I am. I'm just finding the I talk so much, sometimes my battery dies.
Okay, battery's about to die. We're going to start rounding this off. But so there are a bunch of things there that I hope you who are watching and listening to this can embrace then. The willingness to learn, the willingness to engage, the discipline to engage, planning ahead. When can I practice? When can I do my stuff? Knowing that I'm going to do it the next day too. Knowing that even though I have wonderful results in the first week, that does not mean that I now have achieved perfection, or whenever we achieve that will be a sad day. And that the more we learn, the more fun it becomes to learn more. So yes, for that, you should have a big pat on your back for having that mindset and that willingness. So good for you, Shane.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I really.
And that's also what gives you the enjoyment. That's what we can hear here, that you are freaking excited about discovering things about yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's not me. That's all you.
Yeah. You say that. Oh. You say that, buddy, but it takes two to tango.
Well, hopefully I give you a kick in the rear and give you access to sort of a process of self-discovery. But then it's you and you're doing it there. Is that me on the screen there?
Every day.
He's turning around and showing me
the corner of
this
room. That's it. Every day, all day. It's that.
That's hysterical.
And my guitar. That's it.
All right. But now, hopefully now, then your next step is, and I know that you are. I mean, you have a lot of stuff going on here, so it's going to be exciting. We want to see you on stage, and I'm sure you're going to inspire a lot of people, not just with your music and playing, you know, the singing and playing, but frankly with your mindset. That is what inspires people, and I hope it's inspired people who have been watching and listening to this. So bring that up onto the stage or wherever you are and with your daughter, whoever.
I have no choice. I bring myself with me everywhere I go.
Oh, well, that's great, right? And there's a difference between having just a discipline of you know, but also the willingness to, like we talked about, the willingness to not have to be perfect, not have to live up to expectations, someone else's expectations, frankly, even our own expectations. Mm-hmm. Having high ambitions is not the same thing as being perfectionists, because perfectionism means that we're operating with fear, that we're afraid of being less than perfect, right? Go out there, go up on stage, do your stuff.
Not me. I mastered being less than perfect. I'm not embarrassed. I was a door-to-door salesman. You can have my hat. I'm the kind of person that believes that if you just are nice, you do every job that you're given to the best of your ability, and you're just nice, that things happen for you. And so in that, I take every aspect of my life. It's a lot easier to get along in everything that you do when you're just nice about it and take things from it instead of trying to take things away from it.
Yes. Brilliant. Well, I am very grateful that you have shared this today.
And likewise.
I wish you all the best in the future here, and have fun. It's all about having fun.
I look forward to what's next. I know you're working on something. You don't have to tell me what it is, but I know you're working on something, because
yes,
you made this.
Yes, I am indeed. And when we're recording this and when this is published is not the same day, so I might as well not talk about now.
Okay.
Because now when someone is listening to it, it's not going to be relevant. But I'll tell you once we finish the recording here. So anyway, thank you so much. You who have been watching and listening to this, I hope you're inspired to go out there and put in some hours to what you love to do. Explore what you're capable of, because it's freaking fun. And Shane, wish you all the best. Thank you for having been on here today and for sharing with us all.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.